So you're saying,
yo, third dude, I just got paid and I want to get laid.
Might your humble narrator suggest a live Smodco show? See Smod.com list all the upcoming performances with links to tickets. As for getting laid, that's all on you, amigo. We just make you laugh till you shit your pants. The Smonsters of Talk could be coming to your town. Go to csmod.com and find out. Smodco's been blasting its own brand of fuck yeah for years in all forms of media. If you're saying,
hold up, sir dude, what about video games?
We got that market covered too. Visit smarcade.com to learn about two, count 'em, two games for your iOS and Android device. Jay and Silent Bob grace your mobile with Too Fat to Fly and Let Us Dance. Get your game on, Smod Goblins. Check out smarcade.com. Smodco Internet Radio broadcasts the free funny, but you can broadcast your Smodco love with merchandise. Shirts, posters, comics, memorabilia, and more. jandsilentbob.com is your hub for Comic Book Men, Secret Stash, and Kevin Smith's cinematic catalog. It's an online one-stop shop that fulfills your need, minus the weed. jandsilentbob.com. Bookmark it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Hollywood Babylon with Ralph and Kevin.
Good evening, Hollywood. This is Babylon. I'm Kevin Smith.
I am Ralph Garman.
I had some shit planned to talk about at the head of the show, but I was fucking thunderstruck by an angel backstage.
Oh, stop.
Ralph brought his wife, man, and makes me so mad I had to make a movie in order to grab somebody out of my range. Like, believe me, I married up too, so I can acknowledge and recognize it.
Yes.
I
lucked out. She's a wonderful woman, mm-hmm. and she's just not that bright. So I was able to fool her. And have until just now, because now she's like, what the fuck? He's right.
Totally, man. Now she's coming
so
out
much
of
better.
It. She's coming out of it. It's like the morning after she's heard somebody reach her into the fucking mist and like, hey, you could do better.
Yeah.
And you are lucky, that. Dude. Thanks. Lucky. Didn't know you had it in you.
You're the one who dresses
surprised.
Your wife in leather cat suits and puts her in your movies, for God's sakes.
That's true. Yeah. And I make her kiss girls in the movies, too.
I noticed.
Speaking of lucky, dude, I was thinking this week of, I was driving around, I don't know why, somebody was talking about Star Wars. When I was a kid, man, did you ever read the Jedi Master's Quiz book?
I do remember that book, yes.
It came out like, I think it was like 82 or 83. And I remember like, there was no internet and there was no, if you wanted to find out some story like this, you had to be watching like morning television or something like that. And I was going to school as a big Star Wars fan. I remember my mom was like, some boy is on TV talking about Star Wars. And I ran in there and there was this kid talking about having written this fucking book, the Jedi Master's Quiz book. His name was Rusty Miller, I think his name was. And he was some random kid. He's like 9, 10, 11 years old. Came up with a full list of questions. And Del Rey Publications were like, we're going to publish this as a book. And I just remember feeling so bitter and angry at this little fucking kid. Because I'm like, I could come up with those questions. Like, who's fucking the lead singer to Max Rebo Band? Cy Snoodles. Like, I can write a book.
Who doesn't know that?
Exactly. Yeah. And this fucking prick, he thought of it first. That's it. That's the only reason he got there first is Rusty Miller thought of it before I did. Yeah.
Well, you'll be happy to know I saw Rusty out here blowing guys for beer money on Santa Monica Boulevard. So it all works out.
I wrote a book of questions once. Want to come in my mouth?
It all works out at the end.
Just fucking sucking your dick. You're like, what are the names of those little things?
Jawas. Jawas. Jawas.
Ugnaughts. Yeah, Ugnaughts, man. Oh, boy, you give head like you ask questions, kid. what happened to that guy? I would like to put out a pitch on Hollywood Babylon. We might reach many years, few years out there in the world. Somebody must know this fucking dude. Let's have him on the show.
That'd be great.
That's the dude I want to talk to. Like, fucking people are like, bring Ben Affleck. Fuck that dude. Let's talk to... We all know his story. Very right. Famous, popular, beautiful dude.
Yes.
Let's talk to Rusty Miller. What happened? Like, that dude peaked at age 9.
Yeah.
What's he been doing for the last 32 years?
Nothing
man?
Good has happened to Rusty after that, I guarantee you.
Or maybe great things. He's like, you thought that was the peak of my, I fucking cured a disease. It's like, mumps don't exist because of me.
Sadly, that disease.
Dr. Rusty Miller, you know?
The disease that he cured wasn't geekdom, however, I assure you.
He's like, I was inspired by the Bacta tank in Empire Strikes Back. I went into medicine. I figured I could have cured Luke from the Wampa wounds.
He's invented artificial limbs, though, that actually move like hands, just like the end of Empire.
I would like to talk to that guy.
Well, I will make a point of getting Rusty on our show.
You got reach. You got...
Kidding me?
Do it through K-Rock, man.
Exactly.
Call up, be like, we want you on K-Rock. He shows up, you're like, get in the car. We're going to Smod Castle. He's like, what the hell's that?
We'll throw a bag over his head and put him in the back of a van. Look, old I got Al-Qaeda.
And to stay sane, he's in the back. You just quietly hear him under the fucking hood going... What was the name of the planet?
He went to his comfort place.
Yeah. I'm like, quit fucking doing Star Wars trivia back there.
So we have Rusty to blame for so many of your films. That was what really motivated you.
I tell you, honestly, I might have taken a page out of fucking Rusty Miller's book because he got so... He was on Good Morning America, dude. Like, they were talking to this child about writing this book, and I was like, why him? Why not me? So maybe something in the back of my head was like, yeah, man, one day talk about Star Wars. People like that.
Yeah.
And I put it in the flicks, and here I am. Maybe I owe something to Rusty Miller, man. Maybe he's like, why don't you suck my dick, you fat fuck? Anyway, Rusty Miller, I'd love to talk to him.
All right, Mr. Okay. Smith. I almost called you Dr. Smith. That would have been an interesting...
Oh, dear. Can you do that? You can do that. Baby, that's Stewie. And I know you could do Stewie because you fucking love Family Guys.
Easy.
William, the pain.
That is, man. That is Dr. Smith.
Thanks. You know my best Smith, Dr. Smith impression.
Okay.
You have to help me out here.
Okay.
You have to play like Major Don West.
Okay.
Remember how Don always hated Smith?
Yeah.
Say to me, Dr. Smith, I never liked you and I never trusted you.
Damn it, Smith, I never liked you or trusted you.
Oh, Major West. That's it.
Then what? The kiss?
No, he's just...
That sounded more like a come on than anything else. Like, oh, Major Wimpom. Dr. Smith, you came in my eye.
Oh, the pain. Oh, the jism in my eye.
It burns like Clorox.
Shut up, you bubble-headed movie.
I don't know if I want to send my little boy off with the big gay British guy. In behind the rocks, looking for aliens.
I don't think so, man. I think he was just like, I trust him. Yeah,
William, my pants are too tight. Pull them down, William.
He's like, he's not gay. He's Shakespearean. He's British.
Did you realize when we were young how little we recognized how gay people were?
I think that old man and that little boy are in Nambour or something like that. There's something going on here, because everyone's okay, kosher with the relationship. They're like, yeah, he'll grow into him.
I remember watching MTV.
Where'd your fucking heads go? Oh, you filthy really? Pigs. I didn't mean that. I meant emotionally.
I remember watching MTV saying, Boy George, like, I'll tumble for ya. And I'm thinking, wow, he's really sort of eclectic. No, he's just fucking, gay. It never even dawned on me.
And seeing that video at age 13 and being like, this dude must get so much pussy. Look at that get up, man. Like, he was like Rusty Miller, dude. He saw a hole and he filled it. He's like, you know what's not out there? The dude putting on makeup and with funky hair and is he or isn't he? Yeah, totally. Him and Rusty Miller. I'd like to talk to Boy George as well. Arrange for that. If we can have those two dudes on the show, and then we're not here. And they just like, they have to talk to you. You be Boy George, and I'll be Rusty Miller.
So, what's going on with you? Have you written any more books about Star Wars?
What was the name of the... What was the name of the planet that Lando Calrissian... He can't even make eye contact, so his mind is shattered, Ralph.
Because I remember thinking as a kid, wow, what do girls love more than anything? Makeup. And this dude is wearing makeup. They must love him. And boy,
I can hang out with the girls.
And George Michael, too. Wake me up before you go, go.
Yes.
Like, oh, look how many girls he must get in his dolphin shorts and his gay mesh t-shirt.
Those two dudes must double team so many girls. The boys of Wham just give it hard. Yeah. You know, that's why it's called Wham, because like, give me that pussy. Wham! Now turn around. Wham! He hits him on that side, and their belly bouncing her back and forth. There's that's no, what I thought, and meanwhile, it was like, it's kind of like that, but with cock.
There's no gaydar when you're young, that's what
no
I'm
way, saying. Man. Yeah. No way.
All right.
That's why I wound up with so many dicks in my mouth and hands.
Spit take. You want to talk a little showbiz news while we're here?
Yeah,
it's
man.
Called Hollywood Babylon and all.
I would love to.
All right. We take a look at the big movies this week at the box office. As always, take a look at the top five big movies at the box office. It's been neck and neck all week long between Takers and The Last Exorcism. And Takers wins by a nose.
Get out of here. That's important for gay cinema.
I don't think that's what it's about. I think Takers is a heist film with a African-American gentlemen who are robbing a bank.
I thought it was more like, you know, sequel to Givers.
Yeah, I know. That's Pitchers and Catchers. That's exactly. Coming out next year. Yeah. But Eli Roth, who produced Last Exorcism, came in at number 2 this week.
That was the Last Exorcism number 2. How much did it make?
Well, last weekend, the opening weekend, it made over $22 million. Third on the list was The Expendables.
That's still up there.
Stallone is still doing well with his octogenarian team of mercenaries.
And they're going for, they're building team 2, right? As
yes.
We spoke about last week. I'm beginning to think that this franchise is kind of like a cinematic love boat. You know what I'm saying? Like basically, if your career is over.
Right.
You know, back in the 70s and 80s, like they'd be like, hey, who's on board the love boat? Why, it's Nipsey Russell, you know? And as a kid, you were like, who the fuck is Nipsey Russell? But your parents are like, oh, Nipsey Russell, I haven't seen him in years.
Marge, make some popcorn. Nipsey's on.
Yeah. Oh, you're in for a good time, kids. Nipsey, he loves comedy.
I guarantee he'll rhyme something.
He's like, I want to be with my wife on the boat, but I can't because I'm riding a goat. And they're like, isn't that funny, Kev? I'm like, shit, no. But it was like that, like those cats who at one point were big,
right?
Suddenly now have a place to go. Like before, it was the love boat. We're like, oh, fucking thank God, man. I could always cash a check on the love boat. Now they're like, oh, thank God, the Expendables. Like, I could always cash a check there. They could keep it going. It could be the love boat of cinema.
So Expendables 10 will be like Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Tom Green.
Absolutely. Or really, it'll be like Rob Pattinson.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Be realistic, all right? They're almost out of books, man. He will be in an Expendables.
Justin Bieber as dump truck. Eat, Pray, Love was 4th at the box office this week. And The Other Guys was 5th at the box office this week.
Oh, that movie.
Yeah.
Still around, huh?
Yeah.
Top five, eh?
Top 5.
3 weeks
five.
In the top five?
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for Will Ferrell. He's a nice guy. The other guy, I don't know, but I liked his underwear ads very much.
Speaking of Justin Bieber.
Yes.
I never heard the story this week, but Bieber is in conversations with producers, according to this magazine called The Examiner,
mm-hmm.
to star in a reboot of Back to the Future.
No.
Well, the audience seems in favor
Hold
of
on.
It.
That, when that many people react to something, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Bieber, if you're listening, and you're not.
He's not.
But maybe someone is who'll be like, hey man, you know what they said on HBO? And he's like, I love HBO.
It was like Entourage?
Yeah.
No, the other HBO.
No, the HBO with no subscriptions. I can't, he's gotta, someone in his world has to be like, dude, don't do it. It's sacrosanct. Like wait until the nerds all die. Then do it. But no, somebody's got to keep them away from that. You can remake many things, but that's...
They're rebooting everything. Star Trek, they rebooted successfully. You wouldn't think in a million years that would happen, right?
Fair enough. But they have rebooted Star Trek historically, like on TV a lot.
So
we were prepared for their many different crews and shit. But Back to the Future, man, that's getting close to the nerve, as they say in dentistry. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, if you punch through, root canal that motherfucker, because it's never gonna be, it's a dead tooth in your mouth. I just went to the dentist this week, so
you get a lot of that.
See where my analogies are coming from. Yeah, yeah. Awesome new crown.
Oh, that's pretty.
Thank you. Yeah. This can't be allowed to happen, Ralph.
Marty, we have to go back to the future to teach you how to comb your hair.
What are you fucking auditioning for it?
Yes. They're going to need a new Doc Brown. They're going to need a new Doc.
That's true. They're going to need a Doc. Yeah. Why not you, man?
Why not me indeed?
Totally. You're like, my qualifications are, I really like the original trilogy. And I do a wicked Doc Brown.
And I can do a pseudo impression of the other guy who played him. Yeah.
All right, I'll be Bieber and you be Doc Brown.
All right.
How's he talk? Hey, man.
Sure.
Hey, man, we got to go to the Twin Pines Mall.
Marty, you must learn how to not sing to make me vomit.
I can't even do a song. I was going to start singing, but I don't even know anything.
It's not your thing, man.
What? Anybody know a Bieber song?
Baby. Let's do it, baby.
Yeah, that can't be allowed to happen, man.
No, we got to stop that,
just wait
right?
till we're dead. And in my case, that'll be like in 5 years. Just wait. Wait until I pass, and then go ahead. Go Bieber nuts. Bieberlicious, if you will, with Back to the Future. Bieber to the future.
Collectible news. You know I'm a collector. I like to collect stuff.
You're off that already? I thought of a fucking Back to the Future man like you would be like, and another thing, this fucking murderous little piece of shit's gonna die at our hands.
Well, here's the thing. I feel that so many films have been bastardized. So many franchises have been ruined already that I'm sort of inured to it. I think I'm sort of numb to it. I don't even feel the pain as much as I do anymore.
You went serious with it, man.
I know.
You were like the end of the Jerry Springer show. Here's my thought.
America?
Yeah, Bieber shouldn't be allowed to do it, but why not?
Of course he shouldn't, but really, we're just powerless. We're just cogs in the machine.
I say kick back and relax. There's no such thing as a bad blowjob, Ralph. And there's no such thing as a bad remake of a movie that you've loved in your youth.
Doesn't put a little stink on the original anytime you make a remake of anything?
I don't think so. I don't know. Name the situation.
Whoever she is agrees.
Name a recent remake. Prom Night?
Yeah, Prom Night ruined the original Prom Night for me.
Exactly. You know.
No, but you remember when Gus Van Sant did the frame-for-frame remake of Psycho?
You know how I feel about that.
I know. I know you can see Anne Heche's vagina. I know.
Not her vagina, her asshole, dude. Oh, anybody can see Anne Heche's vagina, but when you see Psycho remake, you see the bunghole.
Right.
Actual ring piece that clips the shit, Ralph. You never see that in movies. That's rare.
I am really quite aware of what the sphincter does.
Okay. Well, you called it a vagina.
I know.
So
I misspoke. But now, anytime Psycho comes up in conversation,
yes,
that remake becomes a footnote to that conversation.
Oh, like remember when Gus Van Sant
yes,
did it?
Yes, someone will bring that up. And a movie that should have stood alone.
Are you in a hurry or something? You're like, I have no time for footnotes.
Yes. I do have conversations often just out of the window of my car as I'm driving by people. What do you think of Psycho? I really don't have time to get into the deep critical thinking about it.
You're turning me around here. Good point.
I'm just saying some films should be left alone, and that franchise means a lot to a lot of people, and it just seems like if you want to put Justin Bieber in a movie, there's plenty of scripts out there floating around that you can put him in something that stands alone and fails on its own without putting the Bieber stink all over something that people love.
Or make it a spinoff or kind of thing. You know, instead of calling it Back to the Future, just like Back to the Future, the next generation.
There you go.
That way you're like, all right, at least it's the terrible generation, the worst generation, you know.
Marty Jr.
Yeah, totally. He's just like,
Marty, you stopped shaking long enough to have sex with someone and now you have a baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my bad. I gave him Parkinson's. Yeah, it's me. What the fuck? You people read a newspaper. He's got a disease. It's okay. He's good with it. I'm just saying. I didn't do it.
Oh, my God. You're fucking killing us. You're going to kill us in this town. They're like, I hear your buddy made fun of fucking Mickey J. Fox. What kind of hell did he crawl out of? I was like, he's Satan's own left nut.
He's Canadian. He's like 3/4 of an American. It really doesn't even matter.
Dig that hole deeper.
I didn't realize we're such a PC crowd here at the Smodcast. I like the whole fucking vagina and asshole thing, but then he talked about a disease, and I had to get up. Gladys, we're leaving. Come on.
It's a fine line,
talk about
dude.
That poor hockey-playing kid shaking. I don't care for that. Come on, people. Have a cocktail. I know I am. Speaking of remakes.
I have to talk to you about your drinking.
And sequels.
You throw back half a shot and you're like, you know who else is fucked? Chris Reeve.
Speaking of sequels and remakes.
Can I tell you a horrible joke? It's not a horrible joke, but it's a moment.
Not with this crowd, you can apparently. Because they will hiss and boo and get all fucking fidgety.
We were watching, I guess, remember Chris Reeve was honored at the Oscars one year? Like the year they brought him out in a wheelchair or something like that?
Wait, they brought him out in a wheelchair? They just didn't roll him out onto the floor?
I have vague memories of, and maybe I'm recollecting this incorrectly, but didn't they like put a clip of him together kind of walking, like animatronics of him walking?
Yes, they did a CGI animated thing of him conquering his spinal injury and walking.
And then they put up the curtain and they're like, but here he is really in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Never mind what we just saw you. Here it fucking is. And they were, he's talking. He was labored. He couldn't really speak that well at the point. And at one point they cut to a shot of Gene Hackman in the audience. And we just all cracked up because we're like, he's sitting there like Lex Luthor is like, I won.
Gene pulls out a lead box and it, there's a green glowing rock inside of it.
Mr. Smogon!
Superman, a little souvenir from the whole planet. Yeah.
Anywho. See there, I did a tacky joke too.
Yes. And you saved my Parkinson's chunk and I appreciate that.
People are like, he's not so bad. They're both hellish.
Speaking of reboots and franchises and sequels,
okay.
I thought it was interesting this week that Sigourney Weaver started talking about the real possibility, and apparently it's in the works, they are going to actually do finally the Ghostbusters 3 movie.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they doing the one that Bill Murray wants to do? He said he's dead. He died. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but he said it everywhere.
He's always said, if there is going to be another one, you have to kill me in the first reel.
Which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then I'm a Ghostbuster who is a ghost.
Exactly.
Totally.
Apparently, that is going to be worked into the premise.
Is it?
According to what Sigourney says. She says she's been contacted by Ivan Reitman, who, of course, was the director and producer of those films.
Right.
And said the Ghostbusters 3 already has a storyline. And basically, remember Little Oscar? Her baby in the second one?
And it wasn't Bill Murray's baby.
Or was it?
Oh, that's what now they're retconning it and saying it wasn't? That was the only cool part about Ghostbusters 2. I remember watching that movie and I was like, I can't believe they didn't make the kid Bill Murray's. They made it some other fucking schmo. Like,
or did they?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not gonna keep saying that until you realize that the news story
they're
is Bill Murray's baby. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Little Oscar is actually Bill Murray's baby. Now 21 years later. It's been 21 years since Ghostbusters 2. He's all grown up.
It's been 32 years since the Jedi Master's quiz book.
Someone get Rusty. Go on Hollywood Boulevard and get Rusty.
So who is it going to be, man? Is it like fucking Shia LaBeouf or something like that?
No word yet on any casting.
Rogan. It's got to be Rogan. I think Rogan's a good Bill Murray son.
Seth Rogan as Bill Murray's son? The premise is that Oscar's now all grown up and ready to take over his father's business, and the original Ghostbusters will pass the torch to Ghostbusters the Next Generation, and it will open up a brand new franchise of Ghostbusters films. I thought this was pretty interesting. Again, they're rebooting the Fantastic Four, and I can't imagine why, with those amazing Tim Story films.
I saw both of those. My kid was a huge fan of the second one.
Really?
Yeah, I really wanted to give her up for adoption at that point. I was like, come on, man. She was like, and that was, again, I've spoken about, like, her favorite movie was Scooby-Doo 2.
Yeah.
And then that replaced it. She was like, oh, I think I love that movie better than Scooby-Doo 2. I'm like, you're kidding. And I thought maybe she was doing it for me because she knew I like comics or something like that, but she was serious about it. It was right up her alley. It was made for a 9-year-old or 7 to 9-year-old. You were unhappy about that, I can tell.
You're
like, why didn't they make it for me, a 45-year-old man?
With a Batman collection.
I'm so mad at them. Who's going to be in the reboot?
Well, I have a list of people who are potentially being considered for all the roles here, okay?
And this is not a Marvel Studio film.
No, it's not. It's apparently Fox is still holding on to it because they've got the rights and they have to use those rights or else they lose them.
Right.
So they're hurrying the new Fantastic Four into production.
Isn't that amazing? So in order to keep it out of the hands of Marvel and all, since it's Marvel Disney.
Right.
They're like, let's just do it again. They're doing the same thing with Daredevil. Fox is talking about rebooting and they just have to make a movie or else they lose it back to Marvel forever.
Right. Yeah.
So they're gonna every few years I think they'll probably just like, let's quick make another Fantastic Four and reboot the whole thing.
Yep.
Until people are just like, we don't give a fuck anymore. We hate the Fantastic Four so much.
Stop calling them fantastic.
There's nothing about them fantastic.
They are anything but. They have their monotonous four. Adrian Brody and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers of the Tudors, apparently in conversations with producers to play Reed Richards.
All right, Adrian Brody, I can get behind that. He'd be a good Reed Richards.
I know
man.
His nose would stretch. That much has been proven. Wow, Parkinson's and nose humor. They don't really go for that. Now I know what to stay away from.
I'm making that mental list in my head. Really? Like, I ain't ever judging that.
I've got a big nose, too.
Adrian Brody, and who's the other one?
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. I don't know if you watched the Tudors miniseries on Showtime.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He played Henry VIII.
Yes, yes.
They're talking about him potentially playing Reed Richards as well. Yeah.
So what happens in a situation like that? They're like, Adrian and Jonathan Rhys, get in this room, your shirts, your skins. Whoever wins is Reed Richards.
They give one guy a mace, and the other give it like a shield and a blade, and then whoever comes out alive is Reed Richards.
Or they're just like, look, gentlemen, it's come down to you two. This is going to decide who plays Reed Richards in the new Fantastic Four. Let me see you stretch. Like, what, are you kidding? I'm like, no, let me see you stretch.
Seriously.
Pull your cock out and stretch! They're like, I don't think this is the Fantastic Four audition, is it? I'm like, no.
The Fantastic Whore.
Is the dick-looking place. I like looking at dicks. All right, so those two guys, I'm okay with that. I mean, not to sink the other dude's boat, because I do like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, but it seems like Adrian Brody would seem more Reed.
Seems like a bit of an egghead type guy who would be Richards.
Yeah, and he's intense. He's a good actor. Dude won an Oscar and shit. They keep putting him in movies like Splice.
And Predators.
Put him in something like Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Where his skinny ass body won't be a distraction.
That's true.
No, in Predators, I was like, how can he lift that gun? Look at him. He's like 95 pounds. He should have a hernia trying to lift that gun. He's not burly. Action figures burly.
You didn't get lost in the movie then at all.
He took
that took it right out the whole time. People were like, Predators are attacking motherfuckers. No, and you're just like, there's no way he could fucking stand.
Give the pianist the sandwich. That's what I kept screaming.
Give the what?
The pianist. That was the movie he won the Oscar for.
I thought it was some kind of like expression from Philadelphia, like, give the penis a sandwich shut the fuck up.
Let me translate it into Jersey for you. Give the pianist a sandwich.
Thank you.
Okay. They're talking to True Blood star Stephen Moyer to play Victor Von Doom, of course, Dr. Doom, their archenemy. And this one I thought you'd be especially interested in, the role of Ben Grimm, the ever-loving Thing. Which, of course, Chiklis played in the first two films in a foam rubber thing suit. They're going to do a complete CGI thing this year. That's the plan.
So it's just going to be a voice.
It's going to be a voice. And they are currently negotiating with Bruce Willis to play the Thing.
I would agree with that.
Really?
It's clobbering time.
He said that to you on occasion,
every
didn't
fucking
he?
Day. Yeah. Wow, I could get behind that. I'd like to hear that and shit. Put the penis in that sandwich, Ralph.
No, you don't put the penis in a sandwich. You give the pianist a sandwich.
That's it. Give that sandwich a penis, Ralph.
More comic book casting news only because I can geek out here because the other two guys I work with on the radio aren't shutting me up.
Yeah. Kevin and Bean don't want to hear this shit.
Legendary Marvel comic icon Stan Lee has said.
I know him. I've worked with him.
Interview. I know you have.
Put him in a movie and shit.
He was in Mallrats. I remember that.
Yeah, he was like, you want to be in the movie? Suck my dick. Excelsior.
True believe this, bitch.
And he was like, thank you, spider friend. And it was from Mallrats.
That's much more disturbing than the Parkinson's joke, in my opinion. He's an old icon, and you're making him suck your cock.
But I think they're sitting there going, he would never do that, but poor Michael J. Fox actually has Parkinson's.
You are not on my side. Stan Lee said in an interview this week that he was hoping he would have been cast in the role of Odin, Thor's father, in the movie Thor.
Now look, I love Stan Lee, but fucking come on, man. He loves being in the movies, though.
He does. He wants to be an actor. He said for a long time that's his ultimate goal is to be an actor.
I got to put him in something more substantial.
Don't give him my role in fucking Red State. That's spoken for.
Like, look, do it for Stan. Step aside. You're like, fuck him. Excelsior.
But he said he's okay with Anthony Hopkins playing the role because he considers him a pretty good actor, too.
Yeah, if you're going to be subs, if somebody's going to sub for you, it might as well be.
That's the guy you want.
Good for him, man. Stan, that's got to be cool to be Stan Lee, and you're watching... shit, you were just like, you'd sit around your office probably like 50, 60 fucking years ago, and you'd be like, I can't believe they pay me to write this shit. I'm going to jerk off, have a sandwich, and create like Spider-Man or something like that. And then you hand it off to Jack Kirby and he draws it and boom, like 60 years later, they're like, you want to be in it in a cameo? He's like, cameo? Make me Odin. They're like, back up, old man. But what a joyous time it must be for that dude. He's just seeing all the shit that he came up with years ago come to life.
Yeah.
Every day he must be like, that? They're making a movie of that? Ant-Man? What the?
I was on a weekend bender when I came up with that idea.
I was doing fucking coke off Cheryl's tits when I wrote that.
Back to the Love Boat again.
I know that she'll be in the Expendables next. Like Expendables 3.
Sorrow is Choochie Coochie in the Expendables 7.
You be Stallone. Go, we gotta stop these. Hey, Cheryl, we gotta stop these bad guys.
Yo, Cheryl, we gotta stop these bad guys.
Choochie Coochie.
I'd see that movie, man. They get nothing done because he's like, Oochie, what now?
Yeah, I don't know about Coochie, but Coochie Coochie, that's one Coochie too much.
Coochie Coochie!
What did she actually do, dude? What was she fucking famous for?
Coochie Coochie.
Was that it, right?
Yeah.
This was a chick, I don't know if anybody, some people would, the younger generation.
They don't remember who Charo is. They're laughing, but they don't know who Charo is.
Charo was this chick, she was on like Match Game PM, every fucking game show.
She was a professional celebrity, that's what she did.
She was like Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian. She was like the first generation of that, where you'd be like, what is she famous for? Like, I don't know, for saying Coochie Coochie.
Yeah.
So then
years later, she was on Johnny Carson.
Snooch to the Nooch.
Oh, that's where it came from.
Every time Jay and Silent Bob says Snooch to the Nooch, we owe Charo $10.
Yeah. And she immediately takes it to a plastic surgeon. And they just tighten her just a little bit.
She's like one of those names. Her, Zsa Zsa Gabor, all those names of our fucking youth that like, how, they're still fucking famous. Like there's still somewhere in the world where you could be like, Charo, and somebody goes, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Not here, but.
Here's the thing, and you're gonna be surprised at my knowledge about Charo.
Okay.
But she is a brilliant and award-winning flamenco guitarist.
Really?
Not funny, but true.
I like how you afford her a little bit of dignity and
no,
shit.
It's true.
That makes up for the whole, hey, fuck Michael J. Fox, right?
That's how she met her rich, famous husband, Xavier Cugat, who was
a painter.
No, he was an orchestra leader, but close.
Wait, man, didn't fucking Sam Hayek play this chick in a movie or something like that?
No.
Wasn't she in, like, Charo?
No, that was, who was the broad with one eyebrow that she played in? What's that? Frida Kahlo.
Close.
Frida Kahlo and Xavier Cugat were very different people.
Were they? My bad.
But he was a famous orchestra leader, and she was a musician, and that's how they met and they married, and he was old and rich. She was the Anna Nicole Simpson of her time, or Anna Nicole Smith of her time. I didn't mean to mix my scandals. I apologize.
Yeah, really? What's going on,
She was
man?
The Anna Nicole Smith of her time, and she married this rich, famous musician, and he gave her a career, and then she became the Coochie Coochie Girl. There's more than you ever wanted to know about.
Why do you know so much about that?
Would
you?
I got a lot of fucking problems. That's what.
Is that what it was? I was back in Jersey going, oh, fucking Rusty Miller. You were in Philadelphia going, fucking Charo. One day I'll be Charo.
She stole Xavier Cugat's love.
You're playing your flamenco guitar in your room. Why can't I get this?
At least that's what I told the parents I was doing in my room for hours. I'm practicing my guitar! My fretboard is sore!
Tape on an endless loop and you're just fucking bitterly masturbating, staring at Charo pictures like, one day you're gonna be as dry as my balls. Gucci, Gucci.
The reason I'm furiously paging through my notes here is because Zsa Zsa is on death's door, apparently. She's not doing well.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, again, one of the Gabor sisters. Her sister was Ava Gabor. Is that other one gone?
Yes.
She's already passed.
But Ava was the one who had some kind of fame that we can relate to because she was in the legendary sitcom Green Acres.
Na-na-na-na-na. That's right. She was the chick who was like, New York is bad as a state.
Right. I get allergic smelling hay.
Why are you singing like a dude?
I thought I was Eddie Albert for a minute. I'm sorry.
No, he's the one that's like, fresh air.
That's right.
And she's like, Times Square.
Sorry, Mr. TV Tunes. I fucked up my part in the Green Acres theme song. Anyway,
what is her sister Zsa Zsa,
who has been famous forever. Remember when she slapped the cop? Remember when she slapped the cop?
Yeah, and people were outraged. That was in the 80s, right? Yeah.
She's not doing it.
There are literally people in this audience who are like, I wasn't alive when that happened. No. I was cumming my father's balls when that happened. Deal with that, Garmin.
I paid money to watch old guys talk about people I don't know about. That's what they're thinking right now. Anyway, it's worth telling.
We think the show's all hip and shit, and people are just like, did you ever go to Hollywood Babylon? It's awesome. These two old guys talk about old dead Hollywood.
It's like being in a time capsule before they bury it.
It's like an L.A. version of the Joe Franklin show.
Anyway, Zsa Zsa.
Yes.
Was the Paris Hilton of her time.
Name.
Exactly. She's been famous for a long time for nothing.
Okay.
She's not doing well. She's ill.
Sick. How old is she?
She's 11. She's not young.
Right. And to be fair, like, look, nobody, you know, you never want to see anyone die in this life. But
I do. There's a lot of people I want to see die.
No shit. You're like waiting for, you unfurl your list. Number one, Charo. Number two, Michael J. Fox.
Number three, I want to see him die.
The other shitters.
Anyway, she's on her last legs.
Yes.
And her husband has announced.
She's lived a good life is what I'm getting.
She has.
I mean, for doing a lot of nothing.
She's lived in Beverly Hills in a palatial estate, and she has lived very well for a very long time.
And her most discernible talent is her name.
Right.
That's all we could figure out.
Her husband has announced that her plans after she passes.
Yes.
Are to be plastinated. I don't know if you know what familiar with this process is, but you remember.
She wants to get drunk after she dies?
I know I do. No, but plastination is the process that they've been using on these corpses that they take through these museums, the human body exhibits.
Yes, I've been to that.
Where they take, I don't know, convicts or people.
Chinese prisoners, man.
Right.
And that's what it is.
They strip them down after they die and they plastinate or they preserve in plastic their sinew and bodies and nerves and everything. And
it basically looks like a human being without the skin on.
Right.
A flayed human being. So you see everything, including the balls. I went to the exhibit with my kid. Me and the kid were just, I was like, look at his balls. And she was like, I know, right?
That's why your father is here, Kevin.
She was six at the time. We're totally related on that level. But you can see everything, Ralph. All the skin's gone. You see how the people work and shit. And it's real parts. It's not fake.
No, it's the real human beings.
Yeah.
And horses and whatever. They've got all kinds
of
animals.
There was a giraffe I saw.
Yeah.
A very tall giraffe. That also had a dick. And we were like, look at its balls.
Oh, you saw one of those tall giraffes, did you? They didn't have any of the pygmy giraffes around?
No, they only had the big
ones. No Shetland giraffes?
Yeah, I was like, where do you guys keep the pocket giraffes?
So anyway, Zsa Zsa has announced via her husband.
Yes.
That she wants to be plastinated.
She wants that process done. So she wants all her flesh ripped off?
No, she wants to be preserved with her flesh on as she is currently. And be kept.
Ooh, indeed, madam.
Ooh, indeed. She wants to be preserved in that plastination and put on a mantle or something, I guess. I don't know what she wants to be done with her, but they want to keep her preserved as she is right now.
I can get behind that. I don't know. You know, it's weird, but at the same time, she's lived a weird life, you know, with the name and all. Man, it really wasn't that name. She's been on a shit ton of game shows.
Yeah.
She's justified. That is, I don't know.
Give your stamp of approval?
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Put a fucking dick in, put a dick in that sandwich, Ralph.
So, it's the pianist. Give him a sandwich.
You're right. Give that fucking pianist a sandwich. It's looking awfully thin. Just like they say in Philadelphia, when the balls are hungry, give the dick a sandwich.
Not what we've ever said in Philadelphia. All right. We've been talking about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton as examples of young Hollywood gone wrong.
Yes, and Zsa Zsa Gabor. I mean, look, to be fair, I'm sure like Zsa Zsa Gabor on her deathbed is not listening to this show, but if she was, she'd be like, darling, I am not like those whores. She wasn't really.
That's a good Zsa Zsa, by the way.
That's a good dying Zsa Zsa, you know. I feel bad for her at this point. She was a chick I've seen many times in my youth growing up on game shows and guest spots on the Love Boat.
Yes.
And now she's going to leave this world, man. It reminds me of my own mortality, Ralph. If Zsa Zsa Gabor can die, so can Silent Bob.
I promise to have you plastinated if that happens
tonight. Please do. Yeah. And just sit me here
And fucking, I'll record, if, look, when I know I'm sick or going down, or even if I'm in a car that's about to go off a mountain, I'll use my iPhone, record a bunch of fucking, like, interruptions, where right. I'm like, what about that, Ralph? Suck a dick, Ralph. Put a fucking penis in the sandwich, Ralph. Plasticine me, sit me here, and put my mic on the tape recorder, and you tell the stories and shit, and then lean over, press a button, and I'll just be like, whoa, whoa, put a dick in that sandwich, Ralph.
Yeah, that'll be cheery.
It's a way to keep the show going, you know?
I firmly believe, should you die,
yes.
that you still won't stop talking. That's what I'm thinking. Somehow, if there's a way to work it out, it'll happen with you.
It's so hurtful, man.
I'm just saying, you're a guy who likes to speak.
That's true. I also like to fuck, so if you die, I'm going to plasticine you, stick a fleshlight in your ass. And I'll be like, this was the right relationship. And then put a fucking wick in your head and light you like a candle.
Yeah, turn on him now. That's some creepy shit right there. All right. The reason I bring up Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton.
Yes.
Is that, I don't know about you, but have you been following the Paris Hilton coke bust at all in Vegas?
No, tell me some details.
She was popped in Vegas last weekend.
I thought we were talking about coke. I didn't know we were...
Popped is a cop term, because as you know, I did several turns on NYPD Blue as Officer Gruden. And sometimes I fall back into the old lingo.
Let me ask you this.
She's a perp.
Is that what they call it?
That's what we called them on the Blue.
When you were on the...
She's in the wind and she's a perp.
When
and
you
she was popped.
When you were on... The perp was popped?
The perp was popped.
Paris, the perp was popped.
The Paris perp pop was popped. Outside Paris.
Puckin' A. When one gets popped on the Blue. Or rather, when you were on the Blue, did you
yes.
ever like go, hey man, would you guys stop moving the camera? It's making me so nauseous. Like, can't you guys, here's a tripod. Just put that shit right on it. Stay still. I wanted to write Stephen Bosco a letter for years. I'm like, do you know what a tripod is? I can give you mine.
That was a stylistic choice we made on the Blue, sir. And I'll have you know.
You were involved in the choice making.
Yeah. They said, hey, asshole, put on this cop hat and stand over there. That was pretty much
my involvement. Were you wearing the Blue? You're wearing like a detective?
I was a uniformed officer.
Really?
I was Officer Gruden for 3 seasons, bitch.
Like recurring and shit?
Yeah.
And you had to wear the Blues.
Let me get you my resume. I'll be right back. I'm going to get Kevin my resume.
Totally, man. I hired you without even knowing that.
I know.
I didn't know you had acting experience. Let me ask you this.
I don't.
when you show up and they're like, you got to play a cop.
Yeah.
You have to wear what they tell you to wear.
It's a cop uniform.
Yeah, but you couldn't.
You know, my choice is you can wear the clown costume or the Viking helmet. Or we can put you in the cop uniform, and you are Officer Gruden, so we're hoping you'll make the right choice. What the fuck?
You could hit him up and been like, can I be a space cop or like a Jedi? He's kind of a space cop. Can I be Officer Jedi?
Yeah. Can I be the Green Lantern? They're intergalactic police.
I couldn't do it. If they were like, you're going to have to put on this uniform, I'll be like, it would never fit. So I'm going to have to pass on this role. Unless you let me play it in a hockey jersey or something like that.
You're a hockey cop.
Yeah, I'm the cop at the rink.
Hey, it's a new series. We should pitch that to ABC.
Hockey cop.
Hockey cop.
Well, dude, who's going to watch hockey cop?
That's true. No, I would put on my uniform and I would... I used to call myself Officer Exposition because every scene would open.
Oh, and this is in the Blue. I thought we were making up hockey cop.
No,
I was
no.
Like, yeah, yeah. Then what'd you do?
No,
I'm getting ready to tag up. It's like, and then I come in, goalie man, and I'm your villain.
No, on NYPD Blue, yes. Dennis Franz would walk onto the scene, and I would have my line, which is always, we found the body over here. There's a guy over there who's a witness, and there's 2 slugs in the back of his head, and there's a guy who sped off with a license plate, and here's what it is.
You were crucial. You were uncuttable.
And then Dennis Franz would do this, and he would just push my face out of frame, and then the real acting would go on. So
but still, they needed you. Without you, nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows what's going on.
You had an uncuttable role.
Exactly.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah.
Lead to anything?
Nope.
Right on.
Anyway, yes. Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton in the news.
Yeah.
Paris was popped. In Vegas.
Ugh.
With cocaine.
One night in Paris,
with cocaine in her purse.
Oh, okay. She got arrested with cocaine in her purse.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. They stopped her boyfriend's car.
Look at that. I started itching my nose when you started telling that story. Totally. And I've never done coke in my life, but I was just like, really? She had coke in her purse?
You've never done coke in your life, really?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's my
Len
favorite
Bias,
drug.
Dude. Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Len Bias, when I was getting Len Bias,
sure.
When I was a kid, he was a basketball player.
Yeah.
And, he'd been drafted first draft, NBA. You know more about basketball than
Absolutely.
I do. And first draft pick, is that correct?
Yep.
He went out one night, did a bunch of blow or did a couple lines. Yep. The next day, had a fucking massive heart attack, died right on the court.
Yep.
And I was like, if that fucking dude dies, what chance do I have?
Yeah.
So right then and there, I was like, I'm never playing basketball ever again.
Smart.
That'll kill you. It's a killer, that B-ball.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's funny. Growing up in Philly with the Philly-Boston rivalry and in sports, it's a lot, especially in basketball. Cause at the time, the Sixers and the Celtics were kind of like the Lakers and the Celtics are now. You know, it was a hotly contested rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, well, he died cause he was a Celtic. God smote him. I can do all the blow I want. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm fine. Is it funny how your mind works?
Lord, I'm going to do an eight ball. If it's fine, don't kill me.
Yeah.
I knew it.
So Paris had blow in her purse. Her boyfriend was driving the car at the time, was apparently smoking weed, and the cops pulled up next to them in Vegas and smelt the weed and pulled them over. And they arrested him.
Well, you can't do that. You can't smoke weed in a car.
You can't do anything in Vegas when it comes to drugs. Isn't that odd?
That's weird.
All the vice, they smile on there. But when it comes to drugs, they're really hardcore against sort of illicit substances.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I guess they have to show some remorse in case they die and go to heaven and God says, what the fuck? With the prostitution and the gambling and stuff. And the drinking and the cursing and the smoking.
Broken dreams, lost drugs.
All right, go ahead. You're good. Go ahead. Excellent point, man. But they have hardcore drug laws in Vegas, so they arrested him for the pot, and they were going through her purse, and they found cocaine.
Right.
And she came up with a series of excuses, which are spectacular.
Get out of here. Do you have any of them?
Yeah. The purse was borrowed. It wasn't her purse. The age old, it's not my purse. Which is wrong.
What am I doing holding this?
Right.
Where'd this fucking $40,000 purse come from that I must have gotten from some lowlife who does drugs?
Well, she said, look at the purse. It's so cheap. I would never carry this.
Ooh, that's a good
she
cover,
really
man.
She said that.
You knew that somewhere down the line when she bought that purse, because Ralph, I think it's hers. When she bought that purse, you know, she was just like, if I ever get caught with drugs, man, I'll just be able to say like, hey, I would never carry a purse this cheap. Like that was her fucking...
Yeah.
Her, what do they call it? Her
alibi?
Yeah, it was her alibi purse. That's the brand of purse it was. Alibi.
Except they went back on her Twitter account and looked at her photos that she had posted in mid-July, and she's carrying the same fucking
Get out of here. Oh.
Whip, whip, whip. So her second excuse was, when they said, what's that at the bottom of the purse? It was a baggie of blow. And she said, I think that's gum. She thought it was gum?
Powdered gum, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There, that must exist, right? Powdered gum?
No. Turns out not.
That's so a bad cover, man.
She's in big
why
trouble.
Why not like, hey, it's Splenda, or hey, it's sugar, or hey, it's stevia, or hey, it ain't coke, I swear.
You know all the other powdered substances in the world?
Hey, it's baby powder. Hey, it's Metamucil. Hey, it's... I would run down, hey, it's Tang.
Right.
Because I'm going to the moon. Hey, Breakfast of Champions.
Why do you come up with the only rhyme that's only made in stick form?
That's strange, man.
So
what happens in that case? Will she do time?
They're saying she may be facing felony charges in the state of Nevada because of their strict drug laws.
Oh, she's fucked.
Yeah.
Is this how it all ends for Paris Hilton?
But here's the thing. She's already been in jail.
Yeah.
Right?
And she cries and they let her out. Oh, she's going to be fine.
Yeah. And she's
rich. She'll again. She'll be like, please stop it. Please let me out. Please. I can't get on Twitter. Let me out.
And she's rich. So don't you hire somebody to be your mule in Vegas? Don't you put somebody in the backseat and say, hey, I'm going to write you a big fat check. You're going to hold all the drugs just in case we get pulled over.
Totally. Either that or if I'm Paris and I got all that Hilton money, I create the Paris Fembot. And I keep it in the trunk of my car all the time and shit. And it's a perfect duplicate of me, robotic duplicate, like with its own. It has everything. It just like Parrish in every way, sentient, but it has the three Asimov's three laws.
Sure.
So it can't go ape shit and kill her or anything like
that. That's great. Yeah.
So basically if she gets pulled over for coke, she's like, oh my God, I'm going to hide in my trunk. Uh-huh. And she goes into the trunk. Then the robot gets out.
Swaps places.
Or whatever to get out of trouble. And if she can't get out of trouble, the robot takes the fucking hit. Robot goes to jail. And
that
shit.
Is a much more practical solution than mine of paying someone to carry the drugs for you. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. I was gilding the lily on that one.
But as I was watching this unfold, only one question kept coming to my mind.
Okay.
Which is, what does Jerry Lewis think about this?
Why?
Because the Labor Day telethon, the Muscular Dystrophy telethon is coming up this weekend.
Oh yeah, it's Labor Day.
And somehow
he's still doing it?
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Wow, man.
And somehow conversation got steered towards Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
So I brought in a little tape of what Jerry had to say, of what he would do to Paris Hilton, given her current circumstances.
Should we turn the lights down?
I don't think you need to.
This is the clip.
I've got a couple clips. Here's the first one. This is Jerry talking about what he would do if he ran into Paris Hilton, given her current circumstances.
I would smack her in the mouth and be arrested for abusing a woman.
What would you say to her?
I would say, you deserve this and nothing else. Whack!
Whoa!
Put her over my knee and spank her.
Jerry's gonna fuck her up.
No doubt, man. If I see this bitch, she's getting slapped and spanked by Uncle Jerry. How old is this dude?
He's in his late 80s at this point.
You can get away with saying shit like that.
Can you?
Yes, that dude could have been like, I'm going to cut her up and feed her to pigs. And it would have been like, oh, Jerry. You're so nutty, Professor.
I would take her and I would stick her head up my ass and I'd say, here's a fart on your head and that's what you deserve, you fucking whore with the cocaine in the haven, baby, night.
This crazy old motherfucker's out of his mind.
That was an awesome Jerry Lewis, man. Yeah, do more. I'm going to close my eyes. Say some shit about Rusty Miller.
And so I say, so you wrote a book about the Jedi, and so the fucking Jedi, here's a lightsaber in your hiney hole, with a hay in the hole, and then, hey, these aren't the droids you're looking for with the jism in the hiney hole.
Oh, Jerry, I agree with you. With my eyes closed, that sounds just like it, dude.
So then they say, well, what about Lindsay Lohan? She's out now, she's trying to regain her career.
Yes.
How do you feel about Lindsay? Here's what Jerry had to say.
Same thing with Paris. Those children are begging for help. What they're doing is saying, I'm f***ed up. Can you please help me?
So they're saying, please help me. So I punch them in the fucking face when the kids need the help. It's like the muscular dystrophy kids. I pull them from the wheelchair and I say, fucking walk, you lazy bastards. And I stick my fucking foot in their ass and I slap their faces and punch them in the hi-hi. And the next thing, I'm breaking bones, but they don't care because they can't feel. Because they're all paralyzed with the fucking disease. But it's the kids today with the fucking bullshit and the drugs and the hi-hi.
Maybe that's what they
need. These poor kids, they're begging for help and saying, please help me, I'm fucked up. So I slap them, wham! And I hit them with a fucking 2x4, and then they take a trash can lid and smash it in the vagina. And the next thing, they're all fixed with the goodness.
Thanks, Jerry, Father of the Year. Did I ever tell you the time Jerry Lewis sued me? Did I ever tell you that story?
What?
Real quick story. This was pre-war.
What, like World War II?
No.
Were we fighting the Kaiser?
No, this war. This was before the war in Iraq when Bush was still in office. And okay. You remember when the French were saying, you should let the inspectors look to see if for weapons of mass destruction before you go in there with the tanks. Ho, ho, ho. And Bush was like, I don't think so.
My eyes are recovered, Ralph. Take me to that magical place where so many famous people are on the Smodcastle stage.
And so Congress had changed the name of French fries to Freedom Fries. Do you remember this era? So
on the radio show, it affected me because it's food.
On the radio show, we decided we would extend the olive branch to the French.
Yes.
Because of the tension that was coming between the French and the American point of views. And we said, who better to do it than Jerry Lewis? So we got a number of random phone numbers in Paris, and we decided to call people up in Paris, and I would do Jerry Lewis and tell them that we still want to be friends here in America.
Okay.
Bad idea for a bit. Not that funny. But the button was, we had the number for the French Palace, where Jacques Chirac was still the president, and we were going to call the French Palace, and they would say something to us in French and hang up, and that would be the end of it, go to commercial.
Right.
So we dial a bunch of people in France, and I'm like, yes, this is Jerry Lewis, because they love Jerry in France.
He's huge over there. They gave him the French, what is it, the Order of France.
Legion
or something
of
like
Honor
that.
Or something. Yeah.
This is Jerry, and I just want you to know that us here in America, we love you. And we're hoping that all the thing with the Saddam and the Hoy with the Who and the uranium doesn't make a problem.
So I'm calling these people, and they're like, oh, yes, Mr. Lewis, thank you. Yes, we love America, blah, blah, blah. So we call the French embassy, we call the French presidential palace at the end. Mm-hmm. And I say, yes, this is Jerry Lewis, American for the French president, Monsieur Chirac. Can you please put him on the phone? And we hear, click. And so we say, all right, that's what we expected. So we don't hang up our end of the phone. And we go to commercial. And it turns out that what was not fuck off. It was, please hold. I'll get the president for you.
The fuck out of here.
So we don't hang up our phone. And we're in commercials. And we sit here. Yes, Mr. Lewis, the president Chirac for you. Please hold. And we go and shit our pants. And we roll tape, and, hello, Jerry, this is Jacques Chirac, how are you?
The fuck out of here, man!
Now, I'm the guy on the other end. And I say,
hello, Monsieur President, yes, this is Jerry, and I just want you to know, the whole thing with the French and Americans with the badness is not good for the...
And we have an 8-minute conversation about the potential war in Iraq. And we come out of commercials after it's over, and we broadcast. We put it on air and say, you won't believe what just happened. We thought we were hung up on, but it turns out Jacques Chirac was just waiting to get to the phone, and here is what happened. And we play it. Well, the shit hit the fan. The French consulate in Los Angeles calls us. Our lawyers call us. Jerry Lewis lawyers call us. And I am forbidden for ever telling this story. I'll probably go to jail tonight because I told this story. But Jerry Lewis sues us.
K-Rock? Or Kevin and Bean or the morning show? Or
yes. Anybody with a name and a bank account, Jerry sued us.
Right.
For, and this is my favorite part of the legal document that we got served with, damaging his standing in the international community. Like there's presidents with fucking red phones with Jerry Lewis's name on it all over the world. Just, I don't know what to do with this situation. I hope Lewis calls soon.
Hello, King of Sweden? Yes, here's what I think you should do with your border conflict. You make some fondue. Hey, you like cheese.
So he sues us. And our lawyers are assholes. And they settled out of court. We had to write a big check to the Muscular Dystrophy Association or something, which is fine, which is great. But I was sworn never to talk about or play that audio or everything ever again. And I'm doing it here tonight because I guess my baby doesn't need food or shoes or clothing. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why I said that story, but that's my Jerry Lewis story.
Now I know why your lady married you, man. She's like, he is dangerous. Yeah. Mother, may I sleep with danger?
I'm an outlaw. I play by my own rules.
That is awesome, man. That's tremendous. Yeah. What did he sound like?
Schrock?
Was he speaking in English?
English and made perfect sense. And you know,
about the war?
About
like,
the war.
You just like, slip where you're like, I agree
like,
with you.
Listen, I gotta play it for the audio for you sometime. I don't know if I'm gonna play it on here or not. I don't know if I get into legal trouble or not, but literally when like,
so anyway, Monsieur President, we're just so fucking concerned about this crazy motherfucker Saddam with the whole things and the bombs and the hooey and the blowing up. And we're concerned. He's like, Jerry, I share your concerns, but I think we can wait and let the UN inspectors do their job. And there's always time to go into the country and liberate those people from their situation. But shouldn't we really have all the facts first? And I'm back as you're going,
Fuck yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Yes, okay, with the, hey, and my favorite part, again, you gotta hear the audio, but it's like, so anyway, thank you for your time, Monsieur President. Jerry, next time you're in Paris, please come by the presidential palace. I'd love to come by and meet you and have you stop by the house and we can have dinner. Yes, I'll be there. Hey. That's when I really felt bad, because this dude really thought he was talking to Jerry Lewis.
So weird.
But we never thought in a million years when we called this generic number to the French palace that we would get the president.
You would actually
you calling Obama and saying, Kevin Smith, I'd like to talk to Obama about mall rats, please. Can we please? I'd like to know what he thought about it. Could the and second act could use office, some tightening up? Could
he's sitting in his office and fucking like his secretary's like, you're never going to believe this one. There's a filmmaker who made Mallrats. He'd like to speak to you. And it's just happened to catch him in a nexus of cross streams, perfect storm of a slow day.
Yep.
Where he's just like, how do you get through? You know what? Put him on. That would be amazing, man.
We were thinking afterwards, what was he not tending to while he was talking to Jerry Lewis on the phone about...
They're like, we are hungry in France. We need your help, Jacques Chirac. He's like, quiet, I'm talking to Jerry Lewis.
I have Le Nutty Professeur on the phone. So
that rocks, dude.
That's like Jerry Lewis' story.
You got to hope he sticks around for a few more years.
So he can sue me some more?
Yeah, and make crazy phone calls left and right. Let's call up and order a pizza, Jerry Lewis.
So these kids, they can't fucking walk. But you can walk. So give me money for 24 hours. That's what I'm asking. And if you don't do it, I will get Ed McMahon to take a shit on your head.
Poor Eddie's dead now. That's
yeah, I was going to say, he ain't shitting anywhere no more. I'm spellbound by your fucking impression. You should do the whole show in character, Ralph.
Oh, so I'm not good enough anymore?
No, you're fine, but it's...
Yeah, see, now they hate you. See, why now?
Oh, fuck you guys. Why are you hiding your light under a bushel, man? Like, you should be everything you say should be in a character voice and shit. Like, today, I'm gonna do the whole show in the voice of the guy from Wilford Brimley. Can you do Wilford Brimley?
The wildly popular Wilford Brimley impression? I don't know. I didn't pull that one out. You're right. I should have been using that all along.
Nobody's into that. My wife loves a good Wilford Brimley impression.
Well, she's going to be married to Wilford Brimley in about 10 years.
No doubt. I hope so, man, because I'll be like, we will never get older and we'll never die. Then I'll take her to my fucking cocoon planet, Ralph.
You want to talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend?
Fuck yeah, what's coming out?
There's a bunch of cool stuff coming out this weekend.
What do you got?
The American with George Clooney.
Okay.
Is Clooney just the coolest person on the planet that we have right now?
I think he's a good dude.
I do too. I want to hate him.
I give that fucking penis a sandwich. He's a hell of an individual. You know what they're doing now with him too? They're passing the torch on award shows. He's kind of become like the Jack Nicholson at award shows. They cut to him. And they'll say something like, fucking, who could ever fuck this beautiful woman? They cut to George Clooney and he's like, maybe me, you know. So he's like being groomed.
He's becoming the elder statesman of Hollywood.
Yes, he is. I think that's kind of cool. I can get behind that.
And he's the charitable force behind Hollywood. He puts all the telethons on for Katrina.
He's got
and
a good
Haiti
conscience.
And
you know what he seems like? He seems like he got his success very late in life, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy who's like, look, I've been to the bottom and I've been to the top and the top's better. I'd like to stay. And so, but he lives his life very casually. He knows at any minute he could wind up down at the bottom. So he's going to play it honestly and shit. I like that.
Yeah. He's got a new movie called The American this weekend where he plays an assassin who apparently is on his final mission, which is always fucked up. You don't want to be on your final mission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing bad ever happens on like the third to the last mission. But in every movie I see where a guy's on his final mission, whatever that mission may be, it's fucked up.
Yeah, what you got to do is tell people it's your final, but really it's your second to final.
Yes.
And then you just quietly leave. Like Steven Spielberg leaves before the movie's finished. Have you ever heard this?
Yes.
Like he won't stick around for the last shot.
Right.
They're like, where's Steven? And he's taken off. That could be Clooney. I think I lost the thread of that analogy completely, but I think it holds water, Ralph.
Not to pander to your bit that lost the audience.
Yeah, thank you. Save it, Ralph. Save it.
But didn't
quick,
that...
do Jerry Lewis. Save it.
But didn't that start with Jaws? He didn't want to see the final bit with the shark or something, and that's why he never sticks around for the final shot.
He was scared. He was like, ah! Like, you just figured out now the movie's about a shark?
No, I think he was concerned about the overall being of the film. He wasn't ever convinced it was going to go well, so he just let them shoot that sequence, and he just took off in a plane out of Martha's Vineyard and went back to Los Angeles.
I mean, I know he's Steven Spielberg, he can do whatever he wants, but in my world, that's called lazy.
Good
if
point.
I was just like, hey, I walked off of my last flick, they're like, I know, I saw it. Seems like nobody was paying attention. Piece of shit, give me $10 back. I'm like, here you go, I'm sorry.
Also opening this weekend is a film called Going the Distance.
Justin Long.
Your buddy Justin Long's in
that film? I'm seeing his face on something means that you might get me to go, because he's talented.
Wow, might is strong.
Yeah. Give that sandwich a penis.
No.
Put a cock on that sandwich.
Phrase. It's a simple phrase. Give the penis the sandwich.
Is that what it is? I thought it was just like, if your pastrami has no balls, fuck it.
Anyway, I like the simple concept behind this. I like Justin Long. I think it seems to be a lot of talented actors in it. It seems like there's a lot of dialogue and people talking to each other.
Right.
That's something you would appreciate. Kind
of thing. Totally.
And I think it's safe. It's man safe to go with the wife or the girlfriend.
It's got Justin Long, and that dude is a funny dude. He delivers. So it was worth it. I vote for Justin Long.
And lastly this weekend, Machete comes out this weekend.
That's right.
This is the same reaction we had when we were talking about Piranha 3D, by the way, which went in the shitter. So you people don't know what the fuck you're talking about when it comes to movies.
Or react like that, just make sure you go.
Yeah,
as well. It's one thing to be in the room and be like, yeah, I love the idea of Machete. And they're like, hey, you going? They're like, fuck no. Seems like a video to me. I'll rent
Mexicans
that.
Mexicans with weapons scare me. Staying home, I'm white.
Lindsay Lohan's in this movie, isn't she?
She is, and she's well naked, as they say in Britain. She is well naked in this film.
The fuck out of here. She takes her clothes off in this movie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter. We've all seen her pussy, right?
Yeah, well, every time she gets out of a car.
Yeah. Every time she gets out of a car, she's like, look at my fucking woman part. Look at my fire bush. I got a story that combines Lindsay Lohan and Justin Long. I was on the set of Live Free or Die Hard, and it was my first day, and I'm in the trailer, and I was talking to Justin Long. And we were just bullshitting back and forth. Really nice guy and whatnot. Bruce Willis comes in. This first time I laid eyes on him in person and whatnot. And he's like, good morning, everybody. Everybody ready to live free and die hard? You know, and he was so cool. I was like, oh, Bruce Willis, so fucking... Did you hear what he said? That's the coolest thing anybody's ever said. It wasn't that cool. But in the moment, I thought it was cool. And then I was like, yeah, sir, we're all here ready to go. And he's looking at me, and he goes, let me ask you a question. Why do they call Lindsay Lohan Fire Bush? And I didn't know what to say. It was the first time a fucking major celebrity had asked me an important question, Ralph. I had no answer for him. I was like, well, I guess maybe because she used to, I mean, her hair is red. And Willis goes, I was talking to him.
Oh, no.
And Justin goes, I was in a movie with her. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that makes sense. And so he looks at Justin. Justin goes, red hair. And he goes, that's what I thought. Where were you going with it, Kev? And I was like, I didn't know. I was just nervous. You asked me a question. I felt like I had to answer and shit. He's like, good man. All right. We'll see you out there. Living free, dying hard. But that blew my mind. Like a major celebrity asked a question about another major celebrity to a guy who wasn't quite yet a major celebrity and a dude who was just too fat for the room. You know, like it was weird like that you know what I'm saying? Like you would imagine a Bruce Willis who was somewhere up at the top of the pantheon wouldn't necessarily even be thinking about a Lindsay Lohan.
Red pubes.
And he's like, why didn't anybody tell me this back on Live Free and Die Hard?
He's a little sad.
Hey, wait, you be Jerry Lewis, I'll be Bruce Willis.
So anyway, I'd slap her in the fucking face with the wham and with the fire crotch. Why did they call her with the fire in the hoy and the crotch?
Yippee-ki-yay, Jerry.
Machete opens this weekend, as we mentioned. Danny Trejo.
You see it?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal's in it? Sounds like The Expendables too.
Steven Seagal plays the brutal Mexican drug lord Torres.
Get out of here.
Well, with Steven Seagal's Latin background, you kind of have to cast him, don't you? As a Mexican drug lord?
Yeah, man. I guess that this is like what's his name? Charlton Heston playing a Mexican, right?
Touch of Evil.
Touch of Evil, yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, Robert De Niro, they all star in the film. I did see it this week, and it is wildly entertaining.
Is it really?
Yes.
This is kind of like Grindhouse, right? Like
it is. It is a Mexploitation film, as they call it.
That's funny.
Yeah. It is, it's ultra gory. The violence is so far over the top that you have to sort of cheer and applaud and laugh at it. Danny Trejo is amazing. All of everyone. This is the nice thing about an exploitation film.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to worry about overacting so much.
Right.
Because the genre is such that it traditionally has been filled by people who are horrible actors.
Right.
And with a horrible script. So you're really given free license just to go off and be as bad as you want to be.
Right.
Even Robert De Niro, who plays a
he's in it as well.
He plays a Southern senator in it who is very sort of right-wing Republican, anti-immigration. He just chews up the scenery. I mean, not since Meet the Fockers have I seen him just go off.
No, man, fucking Stardust, where he plays the gay pirate. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like,
too.
It was crazy. I'm watching that movie, and I was like, I think he's making fun of gay people. Well, he's a pirate. It's okay.
Yeah. But it's very entertaining. I recommend it highly. And they promise us two more at the end of the film. It's apparently Rodriguez has thought it's going to be a trilogy.
He's going to do a fucking triptych of Machete.
Yeah. Machete.
So weird. It was a joke
first
trailer in that movie. And now Machete's a reality.
And they say at the end, Machete will return in Machete Kills. And then he will return again in Machete Kills Again. So we have three Machete films to look forward to.
I like that. That's fine. He seems to be having a good time, Megan.
And Jessica Alba, for once, wasn't out-acted by anyone, which I think is great.
Was she naked?
No.
Lindsay Lohan was really naked?
She plays a hardcore professional immigrations officer.
Jessica Alba. I believe that.
She is our Meryl Streep. She really does sort of convince everyone of her profession.
She's on your enemies list, too?
She's a shitty actress.
Yeah, but that's enough to put her on your enemies list?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Go back to the Lindsay Lohan naked thing, because that really captured my imagination. Very naked?
Well, here's the thing.
Let's go by the way we used to talk about it when in the early heydays of cable.
All right.
Do you see Bush?
If she had had one, I think you would have seen it.
The fuck out of here! Really? You see bald Lohan?
She, as opposed to carpet, has hardwood floors.
What does that mean?
It means she shaves her fucking bush.
So instead of carpet, she has hardwood floors?
Yes.
So if you shave a carpet, a hardwood floor is underneath it?
No, listen to me. If you have a home and you have the carpet on the floor and you pull it up, what do you have underneath it?
Put a penis in that sandwich. Your metaphors have lost me completely.
She's shaved.
You don't see lippage, do you?
No, see lippage, no. But you see a lot of ass.
Really? Do you see asshole?
No, sorry.
Like Anne Heche?
Oh, sorry, AnneHecheSphincter.com.
What's
website,
so funny is
runner.
I made like a sphincter with my hand when I said it. I was like, do you see sphincter? And then I put it down and I held it for 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm just glad you didn't put your tongue in it, quite frankly.
I wanted you to reach across the desk and put your finger in it.
Nope. It's not going to happen. But here's the thing. The stuff where she's with Danny Trejo.
Yes.
They're in the pool where Danny Trejo's making out with her and her mother.
Lindsay Lohan's mother? Dina Lohan?
No. God damn it.
Oh, her mother, her character's mother?
Jeff Fahey in the film.
Jeff Fahey plays Lindsay Lohan's mother in the movie?
This is going to be a long night.
Machete.
This is going to be a long night. Jeff Fahey is the bad guy in the film.
Okay.
He's got a wife.
Okay.
Not his real wife. An actress who plays his wife in the movie.
Is that how these things work?
Yeah. And together, their daughter is Lindsay Lohan. They didn't really have sex and give birth to Lindsay Lohan. She plays it in the film.
Okay.
But Machete, or Machete, as he says.
Yes.
And if Danny Trejo, whatever he says, I'm saying.
Yeah.
He shows up, and they're in the pool making like a little video for Lindsay's webcam website thing. And he shows up, and they're like, ooh, look at you, Machete. And he gets in the pool, and he starts making out with both of them, the mom and the daughter.
Who plays the mom?
For fuck's sake, I don't have a cast list in front of me. I'm just telling you, she's in a very attractive redhead.
She wasn't recognizable. We were like, and it was Meryl Streep, motherfucker. Lohan was tonguing Meryl Streep.
No.
And I got a boner and ran home to my wife.
No, it was some
Hollywood boner on.
I don't know the woman who played the mother. But they get in the pool with Machete. And the three of them get together. But in those sequences, it's obvious that the woman who's making out with Machete and the girl is not Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, they had a body double?
Yeah. And a whole, like a whole face double and everything.
But that's okay to do that in the movie because that's, you could get
bad exploitation. Yeah, Once again, that genre is a history for like bad edits and that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's a ton of other stuff where Lindsay's just walking around looking at stuff and she's just buck ass naked and she's in the back of a hearse and she's naked and there's just a lot of nakedness.
Has that happened before?
By the way.
Yeah. I saw her pictures as Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Has that happened before? Did I miss like a Herbie sequel where it's like Herbie, Lindsay shows him?
Yes. It's called Herbie Gets Herpes. And it was the sequel and she actually humped his stick shift and gave him a STD. Shut up. Oh, stop with the moaning.
It's a car culture.
I'm a big Volkswagen fan and that's unacceptable. Because I had to stand up for Herbie. Go Herbie. Fucking people. God, am I used to doing radio with people? It's hard. They can turn on you like that.
You actually hear what people are thinking about what you're saying.
I just convince myself I'm so witty.
Or just like nothing I say could ever hurt someone's feelings.
No.
But by the end of the show today, that I'm like, Ralph, tonight you have to learn a lesson. The door opens, Michael J. Fox.
Oh.
And he's like, why are you doing that, Ralph?
He did a shaky thing. Boo him. It was like a Katharine Hepburn, Michael J. Fox hybrid.
It was kind of, oh, you old poop.
Oh, the loons are all on the pond. I'm out. You got anything?
That movie on Golden Pond had a dude in it. Who played the grandson?
Doug McKeon.
Fucking A. You remember his name?
Doug's sister, I think, was Nancy McKeon from
Facts of Life. Yeah. Joe?
Yeah.
The one who was like, I love pussy.
I don't believe I ever saw that episode, but...
Totally. There was Mrs. Garrett was like, you can put your stuff in that room, Joe. And she's like, put me with a bitch. I love pussy.
I may have missed that.
There was her and Blair got experimental and shit.
Really?
Yeah. And Blair was like, I've never had sex. And she's with with a boy. And she's like, well, what other kind of sex is there? And she's like, come here, Blair. And she's like, you remember that?
I don't remember that.
The Fox of Life, it was called. For that one week. It was a very special episode.
May have been a rental you made in that back room of the video store with the curtain.
The problem with this is we have no way to end the show.
This is true.
We need like a sign off or something.
It does sort of peter out, doesn't it?
It does. It's just like you kind of get to a point where like, I'm out of news. I'm like, I don't want, but I never want to go because I enjoy it so much. But we need something to close it. Something to like finalize the fucking, like, you know, Casey Kasem, like American Top 40 back in the day.
Right.
He would be like, you know, keep your head on the ground. Keep your feet on the ground. Yeah.
Keep your head on the ground, your ass in the air.
Face down, ass in the air.
Keep your ass in the air, your face in the ground, and my cock in your hole.
They're like, Casey, that's not it. He's like, it is now.
Keep my cock in your mouth, keep your ass in the chair, and don't tell your parents.
Yes! That could be our sign-off. Like, his was keep your feet on the ground and your head in the stars.
No,
and
keep reaching for the stars.
Is that what it was? Keep your feet on the ground,
but keep reaching for the stars.
What did it mean exactly? What? It's kind of limiting.
You're
just like, you stay on Earth and don't do shit. You're never going to the moon.
But you're reaching for the stars.
Yeah, reaching, but it's just like...
Well, you can't get the fucking stars. They're light years away.
One practical piece of advice would be like, put your feet in motion, go to NASA, join up, become an astronaut, and go to the stars.
That'd be a pretty pithy ending for America's Top 40.
People are like, what does this have to do with music?
Get your feet in motion, get a degree in astrophysics, apply at NASA, hope they accept you, go into the astronaut program, hope that they don't discontinue the shuttle program before you get in it, get in the shuttle, fly up to the stars, do a lot of orbits around the Earth, look at the stars, take pictures of the stars, and then hopefully, someday, maybe reach one of the stars. I'm Casey Kasem. I was Shaggy on Scooby-Doo. Could that be the ending of
it? Yeah, man! I'd say we streamline it a little bit.
Tighten it up, a little editing.
Just a touch.
But something like that, man. Something that inspires people, makes them think and feel or something like that. Like,
give that penis a sandwich.
Yeah. That's it. That's how you run fucking rock the show. Like, you say, nah, fuck, we need something to lead into it. Well, that's a hell of a dicked up sandwich. Goodbye. No, that's not it.
Wow.
What is it?
You write for a fucking living.
I know. What was it? It's penis. It's penis.
It's a give the penis the sandwich. Is
yeah,
what I
and
said.
That's giving a penis a sandwich.
Not a penis, a pianist, the guy who plays piano.
That makes no sense.
Instead of feeding your cock a Subway sandwich, that makes a lot of sense.
You made it up, dude. It's not mine. It's a Philly thing, you know. You're like, we have Rocky, the Eagles, and weird shit to say.
We might need another week. To work on our clothes.
We need a tight one. Just like fucking, what are the tropes of Hollywood? They call it like Hollywood, Tinseltown.
Yes.
So like Tinseltown. So you could be like, it ain't all tinsel. Nah, that sucks. It could be like, just remember, fucking tinsel is cheap. No, that's we need something, man. Something to button it. A little bit of fucking button action and shit. Well,
keep your feet on the ground and keep hanging tinsel off your penis.
And give it a sandwich. That's Hollywood Babylon for this week. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Ralph Garman. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.